From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Dr. Shailesh Srivastav. Dr. Shailesh joined Swami's Brindavan College in the year 1982 for PUC and finally, after completing his PhD in physics, is currently a professor in the Department of Physics, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanti Nilayam campus. A musician par excellence, Brother Shailesh has composed many songs, qawwalis, Christmas carols, etc., which were performed in the divine presence of Bhagwan. He was also in charge of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group for many decades, and Swami used to lovingly call him as the music director. This heartfelt talk was delivered in March 2015 in Sai Ramesh Hall, Brindavan Ashram, as a part of the Samarpan series. In this talk, he shares his personal experiences and his understanding of the phenomenon that is Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, we have some wonderful songs sung by Swami students. And at 3:30 p.m, we will have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Chari. With that, over to Dr. Shailesh Srivastav.
Offering my loving salutations at Bhagwan's divine lotus feet, dear sisters and brothers, elders, I was very lucky that when I joined the Brindavan hostel 33 years ago, in my 11th class, which is also called the first PUC in Karnataka, I learnt in the very first few years of my stay here that what is important with Swami is not music, but it is a different type of music which is there in everybody. And a different kind of tune which resonates in every heart. And if you give first priority to that, you go nearer and dearer to Him. And when I look back, I know it is a big surprise that actually I never gave priority to music or composition. I will say Swami forced me to do them in a manner which He alone can do. I came here from Delhi and I was in no mind to come here, and it was also the hand of my Guruji, about whom also I have written, His Holiness Swami Krishna Das of Vrindavan, to whom I am also ever grateful for having pushed me, nudged me, thrown me into the presence of God. So let's see how we'll begin, because God alone knows the directions. I remember right here in this Vrindavan, a student, few years senior to me, I think this will be a good way to start, not my experience, but when I was sitting here just 5 minutes back, this experience suddenly struck me. This boy's father was, as he described it, many of us know about this story, but few sentences before we begin into this story. He describes his father as an Agnihotri. You know who's an Agnihotri? Just now a yajna has completed here, a massive, thrilling yajnam. He described his father as Agnihotri, telling that he would smoke only 100 cigarettes a day. And his problem was that his father would never give up smoking. And therefore, he goes to Swami and tells Swami, please do something to my father. Please stop this habit. And Swami very casually remarked something. After which, when he called his father, Swami called his father. His father was a devotee, mind you. I mean, by devotee we mean within inverted comma. We call, all of us call ourselves as devotees, students, etc. The definitions of which are not easy to understand. So he was called and Swami told him directly, look here, if you don't give up smoking, Swami threatened him verbally, I will stop talking to you. Now he was a devotee. He had love for Swami. That's one thing which you have, something which can save you. He had it. And Swami says, I will not talk to you. Point number two, I will not look at you. And point number three is where I wanted to begin. Swami said, if you don't give up this bad, dirty habit, I will see to it. I will see to it that you will not be able to think of me. Amazing. Amazing. If we have the capacity to sit and listen to His glory, if we have the ability to think of Him, please be aware that He has willed it. Or rather that He has allowed it. For without His permission, we cannot think of Him. How many thousands and millions of people are there right out there on the other side of this wall? Unmindful, ever engaged in their daily activities, not having a moment to be able to think of Him, possibly because of some or the other pressing engagement which they feel is not giving them time. Behind the scenes is the hand of the will of God which reacts to your own actions, which reacts to your own doings. Here was Swami who revealed it in the case of a small, of a devotee, that yes, if you continue on these bad ways, I will not even allow you to think of me. Just imagine. That's what it means. Let's be convinced that everyone who comes here, everyone who is able to sit peacefully and think of Him, those who have time to spare, yes, they are really fortunate. Vrindavan is, as usual, very fortunate. Vrindavan students are fortunate. Every other day, every month, in so many different ways, they get opportunities to think of Him. Surely that must be His will. Or else how is it possible? When we think that, when we look at the world and we come inside into a new setting, an environment which seems to be very different from outside, it sets us thinking, is it really real? Are we experiencing the same world in which millions and billions are living? Is He the director of this grand play? And in what way? Is His hand really behind so many things which are going on in this world, in this universe? Yes, we'll need to think about it to be able to come to some conclusion. But let me tell you, from whatever little experience that I have had, I don't have any big experience, and I know I am in a place when possibly Uddhava went to Vrindavan and wanted to convey something to the Gopikas, he was humbled. I am neither a Uddhava, and yet this is Vrindavan. And therefore, I have to think twice before I utter anything. Assembled are here not just Swami students, teachers, people who have taught me, from whom I have learnt so much, and the very place which changed the course of my life. I was not wanting to join or come or leave Delhi. And it was that after I finished my post-graduation, and then people asked me whether you would like to, why don't you do IAS or this one or that one. People thought that I can do such things, and the desire had left. So Vrindavan is not just some place. Lots of things can happen to you if you allow them to happen. And nothing may happen to you if you just sit. So every time we assemble, every time we have the opportunity to think of him, let us first deeply understand that these opportunities come not every day, and that we have to make the best use of it. The presence in which we are sitting is the omnipresence. It is not Vrindavan presence or Prashanti Nilayam presence. It is a presence which is felt by yogis right on the peaks of the Himalayas, a presence which is felt across the oceans, far away in Alaska, or far away in the Fiji Islands, in Japan, everywhere, without physically that presence having moved to all these places. Yet he is there directing the control, the manager. When we were in Kodaikanal, very small statements, and Swami can give you a glimpse of who he is. And very often we miss these glimpses, because often I don't have the habit of going back and thinking about it. I just leave it. I hear and I enjoy one peak, one delta function, and then it goes back. So we were having lunch. Swami was there. We had the opportunity, the fortune of having all the four sessions of food with Swami. Breakfast, lunch, high tea, dinner. Of course, only we were having. Swami's food, that's another big surprise, yes. The 1 month that we stayed there, we were there. We know where Swami is, what he eats. The entire 1 month, Swami's eating time was our Brahma Arpanam time. That's all. Every session, he will tell us to start Brahma Arpanam. By the time we finish Brahma Arpanam, he finishes his whatever he wants to eat. And then he's up, moving around, looking at what we are having, giving us something here, something there. So one day when we were sitting there, suddenly one telegram comes. The telegram, Swami opens the telegram in our presence and reads it. He saw like that. He started reading. The moment it came, he started reading it aloud. Raj Mata, serious. Come immediately. Raj Mata, serious. Come immediately. Okay, those are the first few words of this telegram. Look at that. human reaction and divine reaction. Just small glimpses. If I were to get such a telegram and Rajmata was really one who loved me so dearly, what would I do? I would have told, okay, put it, just find out what's happening, or inquire, ring up, or let's see, or maybe we have to go back to Bangalore fast. If not anything, you know, I don't want her to leave her mortal coils after I read this telegram and I don't do anything about it. So at least for that sake, I'll react and say, let's hurry up. Now, Swami read it casually. He just opened it. He said, Rajmata, serious? Come immediately. And reaction, no crying. He just smiled and tore the telegram. He said, nahi jata. And he smiled and said, passport nahi diya abhi. Ah, my God. It's not some, don't take this word just like that. Somebody is sending a telegram. I am on my deathbed. Please come immediately. And there somebody tears the telegram and says, how can you go? I have not given you the passport. Now, what does that mean? It means that he issues all those passports. It's not that specially Rajmata's passport was there in his hands. Every passport is there in his hand. And therefore, it's a very interesting thing to think about, because we are dealing with the Supreme Divine Almighty Lord. And yet that Almighty Lord that he is, he totally comes down to a level that is such that we start doing research to find out whether he is almighty. Just imagine if I had a little power in my hand. A little, just little, maybe just enough to make this fellow stand up whenever I want. I would have just made him keep standing up, sitting down, just at least to make people see that much. And here is somebody who has the control, not the main switch of almost of everything, right there. But exactly because he has the main switch in his hands, he is never worried about anything. He is never in a hurry for anything, because everything finally goes through an okay, a nod. Not easy to digest this in a normal sense. But let's go deeper into Swami's life. Swami has shown every facet of Godhood. You name it, we can give you experiences. If there ever lived a God on earth. Yes, we know of Jesus, we know of Krishna, we know of Rama, we know of Lord Shiva. We know of so many gods, but let me tell you, brothers, I myself was like an atheist before I joined here, not of this level. But if today I am able to think of Lord Krishna, Lord Rama, Lord Shiva, it is because I have seen Lord Sai. And I have seen that, hey, those things can happen. All that is described in the Bhagavatam can happen. All that is described in the Ramayana could have happened. Otherwise they look, appear like fantastic fables and stories. When I really dig and ask people squarely on their face, you are so nicely talking about Ramayana, Mahabharata. Hey, do you believe that this happened? And then the person slightly trembles and says, I think so, and maybe or may not be, because the world that we live in seems to be so different. And here was a living form who showed us, brother, everything is possible. If with one mantra the arrow could come out, if with one mantra Agni could come out, if the dead could be revived, Everything of that has happened in Swami's life. And yet, just like Lord Krishna here, he has shown every facet of Godhood. So I keep repeating this particular interesting statement. I would like you to dilate upon it and think about it as you sit sometime, that there is no disproof for God. There is no disproof for God. You want, argue with me, challenge me. You will not be able to disprove that. Also, I am a physicist, so a little bit more of logic is ingrained into us. You will not be able to disprove to me that I am God. Shailesh Srivastava is God, I can claim, and you will not be able to disprove. Because anything that you say, I can finally say that, look here, yes, you are saying that you need to be having this power. Fine, I have this power. I am not interested in proving it to you. Fine. Why? Because I am God, I know what to do and where to do, with whom to do, when to do, why to do, how to do. Because I am God, you are saying you are not God, and therefore naturally I know how to deal. So what is the other way around? The other way around is, there is no disproof for God. Okay, then, anyway, Swami has anyway told that all of us are God. So the other side is, there is a proof for God. So think about this. We leave you with this sentence. There's no disproof for God, but there are proofs. So if you suddenly tell me, yes, Mr. Shailesh, you say there is no disproof for God. Okay, you may be God, but can you give me some proofs? Have you shown it somewhere? Then I'll have to keep silent. I'll have to keep repeating that. See, I never wanted to go show my powers, and I have never shown it anywhere. If I can show my power somewhere, to someone, someplace, all powers at some time or the other, I have them. Why should I show them anywhere and everywhere? Because that requires deservedness. If you are doing wrong, I will see to it that you cannot even think of me. Become an atheist. It's a good fortune to believe in God, because belief in God saves us. So let me talk of different facets of this beautiful God with whom we have lived. Swami has been a fantastic human being, a fantastic parent, a fantastic teacher. And fantastic is not the right word. Words will fail if I have to really describe. But every aspect of God has been demonstrated by Swami. Let me start with something, maybe humor, okay? Because that's something which you may not attribute it to God. But God is Navarasa Priya, all rasas, and He shows everything. So, right here, we were called for an interview, and me and two other brothers, we were getting a lot of chances those days, and we went inside the interview room. You know, just above the interview room is Swami's room, and there down, we were there, and Swami called us, so we went. And as we went in, Swami was not there. He was in the round hall, so we thought. So we went to the curtain which separates this interview room from the round hall and stood there. Swami had just now called us. We stood there searching for where Swami was, and we were looking there inside towards Swami's room. And as we were standing there, suddenly, boom! Like that. That is what he came and did. He came from the back. Swami came from the back and did bow like that. Oh. And all three of us just got shocked, and Swami laughed. He enjoyed. And of course he talked interesting things. But humor is also made by God. seriousness is also made by God. He knows when to use which weapon. In Kodaikanal, see the keen sense of observation of Swami. The keen sense of humor also added to the observations. When we sit in Kodaikanal, you know, everybody is waiting for a chance to sit next to Swami. And after every food session, we would get an opportunity to sit right next to Swami. And then Swami will talk. He may tell so many interesting things. So everybody has to finish food as fast as possible. The first come, first served, not the food. When you finish food first, you get his lotus feet first. So if you can finish food early, you go and sit off there. So the problem was that, you know, young students, 21, 22, 23, and when good food is being given every day, you would like to eat nicely. And you don't want to miss that chance also, and you want to eat also, and then you don't want to show that you want to eat. How to manage all these things together? So, Swami is crossing some boy, and you know, people have to serve. Some boys only will be serving. And if I take more, it will be very obvious that I'm wanting to eat more. And so, Swami catches this observation. We never noticed it. Swami was passing, somebody served, and Swami said, "Hey, our boys have got a fantastic, great knack. Knack undira, boys. What knack?" He said, "See, these fellows know, when they are wanting more food, and Swami is standing there, what they do, you know? When this person comes to serve, they start looking that side." So he keeps serving. Because instruction is, please serve till you are told enough. So the boys look that side, and then suddenly they turn and say, "Oh, so much. Now how? Swami is told don't waste." No? And then anyway, Swami says, "Chala nakundi, boys." So this is God who just catches small things which we will not think of. Those things catch his attention. That was humor. Of course, there are so many interesting things which happen when we are right next to Swami. So we can go on, but I thought I'll just tell tidbits here and there about different aspects. The human, the divine, yes, we know it. The human, absolutely human. When he is human, he's absolute human. Of course, understand what a human is, okay? Human is not an animal. We mistake very often the animal for the human. Swami says, first become human, then divine. So, he shows humility, presence of mind, innocence, all of these at various times in so many different ways. Never uneasy, never embarrassed, always at ease. In one of the interviews, we were sitting, and one boy had to sing something in the drama, and then Swami asked myself and somebody else, one more person was there, Swami asked us, "Who's going to sing this?" So we said, Swami, we just told a name. He told some name, Ashwin, let's say. So as I say that, Swami looked at, there were two Ashwins sitting there in the interview room. So Swami looked at the other Ashwin. Swami looked at the other Ashwin and said, "Oh, you also started singing." Like that. So when Swami was looking like that, "Oh, you also started singing." The person who was next to me, another senior person, and myself, we are just looking at Swami. So, we didn't know how to react, so with our finger from back, we just showed like this. I mean, Swami, not this Ashwin, that. that Ashwin. And we just showed it in such a way that nobody can see. No? From back, we just told Swami. You know what he did? He told, oh, I thought this Ashwin. He replied like that. Oh, I thought this Ashwin. Just see that. These are glimpses of divinity, brothers. This is not a glimpse of humanity of today. Real human beings, yes, they have that, those qualities. They are absolutely at ease. They are humble. Because he is not wanting to show me any of his, no, the spiritual power there. Why? Why doesn't he show me the spiritual power all the time? Because then me, the small, cannot interact with him, the big. That difference becomes so much that I feel unearthly. So he becomes earthly. He sits right in front like a normal human being and interacts.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
There have been times where he will tell, see, you, have you composed this tune? Have you finished this tune? And it took me so much of time to understand that Swami is not going to simply give me the thing as a laddu or a prasadam and say, here comes the composition, here comes this. He is giving me an opportunity to sit with him. He is giving me an opportunity to be with him. Because I have prayed for it in whatever way. I should not say because, okay, because there is no because with him. He knows the because, okay. So, he'll say, hey, that tune. And I'll say, Swami, please, you give the tune. And Swami say, hey, I didn't learn music. I am not music director. And I'll be thinking, see, I was also not, neither I am a music director. No, you have simply started calling me as a music director. And now you're not giving these things. So, such things often happen. But here and there, within that, he gives glimpses of divinity. At another time, he suddenly sent word. Where is that music director? He said, I don't know whether I should go or I should not go. No? Am I supposed to think that I am a music director? But then somebody came and called me because something from drama work was there and Swami was calling those times. So I thought maybe he's referring to me. So where is that music director? So I went out into the portico. He said, ah, director Ocharu. Director has come. So I looked at Swami and said, what should I say? So I said, Swami, I am not the director. You are the director. No. He said, no. I am not director. You are director. Human. Okay? Perfect human. Small glimpse of divinity added as a tag. He said, kept silent and then he again looked at me and told, I am director for devotees. I am director for devotees. Students, you, like that. Ah, suddenly his definition of student there was different. It was not the students who are my only property. At that time, he had changed his frame of reference. He was referring to a different aspect. Because actually there is no difference between students and devotees. Because students are supposed to be devotees. And all who are really true devotees are supposed to be his students. But we differentiate, we remember sometimes, we forget sometimes. So this is the human aspect. Ah, let me tell you some other here and there tidbits. Sometimes they can be useful. Once he called me in for an interview, and this was I was sitting outside and Swami suddenly calls and it was a famous western singer Swami has called her for an interview, personal interview inside, and the moment Swami goes and sits inside, I was in the outer interview room. Swami said, "Shailesh." So I was surprised because he was not referring with that name often. He called me inside. And I was used to that if you go, when Swami is sitting, I would directly go and sit off next at Swami's feet. This time, this lady was sitting at Swami's feet. And unmindful as we humans are, as Swami said, "Shailesh," I just went in running. And then I was just going to take my place there. And can you beat it? See, Swami is so beautiful. So he just with his eyes, he looked at me like that. Like, "Where are you sitting?" No? So 2 feet away I sat. We have to remember at all moments the code of conduct that Swami has kept in his organization, in his dealings. Even when I was right in front of God, he's wanting me to remember that. "Hey, lady sitting there, how dare you suddenly come and sit off right there?" So just with his eyes, and that's it. I could sit behind. And then he says, "Ah, come on." He used to make me carry one small keyboard to the interview room, and I would take it. I would also kind of hide it and always keep it with me. Because you see, I am not a singer, nor am I a born musician. And he has started making me do such things, so I always needed this support. And I would keep it with me. To the extent that I used to, during the drama period, I always used to catch it under my armpit and keep moving anywhere, because any time he may call me, I have to show him some song, some this. And he started referring to it as monkey puppy. By monkey puppy, he meant, you know, monkeys will always roam around with their children clinging on to them. So I am always clinging on to this small keyboard. And he used to say, "Hey, where is that monkey puppy did you get?" That's another aspect. He would add humor to everything. Let's come out of this aspect. It's not always humor, not always human, but there are times he gives you glimpses of divinity. Maybe in the middle I am reminded of one more incident connected with the same drama. One of the dramas, Swami was asking us to compose a song on Vivekananda, and thank God I was not getting any tune. And he started calling us for interview, and daily he would ask, and then because daily you have to show him some tune, you can't show the same tune daily, you can't compose also daily, so you show one paragraph today, one paragraph next day, one more paragraph, and continue with one song in so many ways. And he's actually, where people are thinking that amazing things are going on, he's actually giving us chances. Please be sure that every chance that a human being got with Bhagwan Shri Sathya Sai Baba was because the human being needed it. Sathya Sai Baba did not need it. He did not need to call us. He did not need to talk to us. He did not need to look at us. But the fact is, as he says, if you look at me, I look at you. The fact is also that if you don't look at me, I still look at you. But unfortunately, you then don't know that I look at you. So if you want to know that I look at you when you look at me, please look at me. As simple as that. So many people, they don't look at God, and then they don't know that God is always looking at them. It's not that when you look at me, I look at you. He's always looking at you. When you look at me, you feel me. He told to make this Vivekananda song, and we were showing so many songs. Each day one song, and then Swami will listen See, he also knows, he wants to give chance. God knows how many births I would have prayed for that. So, this fellow should sit and sing. Finally, I will say that this is not good. Okay, but first I will hear the whole song. So he will hear the whole song patiently, nicely, then say, no, not good, not this, do this, do that, change this. And I remember what happened was, then one day Swami said, wait, I will give you. So Swami, in one of the interviews, Swami said, I am going to give you the tune. So Swami started. Swami is so human, so sweet, so beautiful. He said, Mat ja, mat ja, mat ja. Then he said, you got it? Then I was just staring at Swami, what to tell. Then he said, Mat ja, mat ja, mat ja. Rest you make it, Swami. So I said, hey, this is too much. Back to square one. So then I thought, okay, no, he has given me a hint. When Swami gives a hint, you must catch it. So naturally, Mataja is the clue. So I went and searched around Mataja, Mataja, Mataja. There must be songs. And I found one song. Beautiful song. By some lady singer. I don't want to name the lady. But there was a singer and professionally recorded song. Now I got it off next day only. And then now that song was little difficult, and I thought I cannot really sing it and show it exactly, so it will not be good. So what to do? And that day the winter vacation began, and Swami had called all the students in the Purnachandra to give clothes. So Swami is calling each one to the stage and giving clothes, and all are going home for vacation. And that morning Swami has called me for an interview. And, previous evening. And this song, I have got it. So I was not knowing how to convey it to Swami. So when I went to take that cloth from Swami, as Swami was giving, Swami just looked at me and told, what happened? He was also so anxious. Because he had told, song, Vivekananda song I will give. And he was not giving. And I was not making. I was not yet in tune with him. If you are in tune, you surrender, he helps you. So, I just looked at Swami and told Swami, I got off the song. I got off the song. I was just telling Swami to, evening. Get it in the evening, Swami told. Get it in the evening. I said, yes, Swami. And just went off. Nobody else noticed that Swami has told this. Evening, what do? So I take a small Walkman with the cassette of that song recorded, placed exactly there. And Swami called us for the interview. And then I would get the opportunity of sitting at his right side, because I'll sit there and I can keep just lifting my face and singing into his ear. And he doesn't want everything to be sung very loudly also. People outside should not hear. No, it should be a good secret. People should be surprised on the final day when you sing things. So, softly. So, I would get an opportunity. That was a great opportunity to sit right next to him. So, I sat there and then Swami looked at me, as if, what is it? No? Have you got it? And I said, yes, Swami. And then I switched on the Walkman and put it right next to Swami's ear. Mat ja, mat ja, mat ja. It started like that. When I just started, Swami told, like that. He made a face. Over. The job was done. Who sang this? Swami told. I said, XYZ. Cha, XYZ, he said, and finished. He made a fantastic pun on the singer, and over. We are back to square one. Don't know what to do. And then the deal has to be made. So it was already into November, and Swami had already called us for so many times, giving us fantastic chances to experience him. Because that's what we can do with God. So I didn't know what to do, so I at that time then I sang off some other song. In the same drama, there was a song for Kabir Das.
Chalti chakki dekh kar diya kabira hue do patan ke beech mein sabat bacha na koi do din ka jag.
I started this, Swami heard it very happy, and actually he had heard it for 10 times before that also. Can you beat it? Only God does this. Every time he hears it, it's like he's hearing it for the first time. The expression on his face is like that of a child with full innocence listening to it for the first time, because he needs to give me chance there. So he's again listening as if it was the first time. He heard it very nice and he said, yes, put this song for this one, Vivekananda. Then we all looked at each other, because this was Kabir's song in the same drama. One song vanished, one song came and one song vanished. What to do now? For Kabir we have to sing some other song. So I had a diary with some other written songs. I just sang a few lines of another Kabir song. And Swami listened to it and told, no. Means I was wanting that to be okayed for Kabir. He said, no, this is not nice. Then some other song for Kabir, he okayed. The interview was ending. It was 10th, 11th or 12th of November. I don't know. It was very late. And Vivekananda's song is not fixed. So, just when the interview was ending, Prashanthi Nilayam Warden, who was there that time, and he thought, yeah, this is the way to clinch the deal. Because once Swami says, Chalti Chakki is Vivekananda, let it be. No? What does it matter what people think? So, just when the interview was ending, Swami says, see, our warden sir said, Swami, so, Chalti Chakki, our song, Vivekananda, he was trying to indicate to Swami that song can we have for Vivekananda. See how beautiful Swami is, no? He knows exactly what to do when. So Swami heard him, what? Swami, the Chalti Chakki song we'll have for Vivekananda. Cha, Donna Pota, Swami told. That is Kabir's song, Swami told. That is Kabir's song. How you can have that for Vivekananda? Buddhi leda. Back to square one. What to do? Just then, on the flute, you know, there used to be a flute player outside and he starts playing something. He played something on the flute and then Swami came near my ear and he told, like that, make something like that. And that's it. Because the interview's over, the chances were over, he had decided that now it should be made. And when I went and sat in my room, I used to generally lock myself. Every song used to be either some tears should come out or some food should be skipped, or you should just lock yourself till something comes out. And then the next day Swami was very happy because I knew that he has given that song. It went like, Chal re man, 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 apne dha. Chal re man, apne dha. Is jag mein pardes hai bande, is jag mein pardes hai bande, bhatak raha kyun subah aur shaam, bhatak raha kyun Swami was very happy. And he said, yes, this is the song. And from then onwards, of course, there were so many times that he made us sing this song. If you look back deeply at it, he could have done it the first day, but he wanted to give us an opportunity. He is giving opportunity to lift mankind. To take time to lift you, it gives you an opportunity to experience joy. What if he had come first day and just said, arise, awake, and here you are, all of you become self-realized. You could have done that. He can do it. All that power is there. But what about the many promises he has given to the many devotees in many a lifetimes? I want to experience you. I want to sit with you. I want to feel you. To fulfill all of those things, God the humorist, he also becomes God the below human, meaning it looks as if he's doing things which should not be done. Oh, he's delaying. Why? To give chance to somebody who has prayed. For everything that Swami did throughout his avatar, there was a prayer of some devotee. I remembered of another song to tell that Swami is just not that he keeps taking you through it, whether it is Indian, Western, this way, that way. Swami, when he wants, he will give you. Otherwise, you have to take the opportunity. We were singing, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. May Sai bless you wherever you are. May Sai bless you all with a Happy New Year. Now, as we sang this, Swami says, hey, first thing, Christians are coming. Don't say, may Sai bless you. Okay? So sing, may God bless you wherever you are. Yes, we changed it. And we were done with it and the song was accepted and we are going to sing it. And then Swami says, sing it again. And then we sang, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. May Sai, may God bless you wherever you are. May God bless you. Now Swami said, wait. Now, there were two groups sitting there. Swami said, you sing, we wish you a Merry Christmas. And then we stopped and said, you sing, may God bless you. We never thought about it. And telling you, it became beautiful. I cannot sing in two voices to explain to you how it sounded. But you can imagine when I'm singing, we wish you a Merry, God bless you wherever you are. So then, fantastic, it started sounding very nice, more like a Western carol. Someone said, now it is good. So, he was always perfect in everything, but he would show glimpses of those only once in a while. The first time that we showed Christmas carols to him was in the Institute auditorium. For the first time we were singing what we call harmony and counters, various tunes together. And Swami came to the auditorium and he was listening. And we had three groups called the alto, bass, tenor, sitting with their ears closed. Because nobody wants to listen to the other person's tune. First time we are singing three different tunes together. So we are all sitting like that and singing. And we thought, this is the ultimate. Swami will be so happy we have sung exactly like Western thing. And the song was, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs, sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We sang the whole thing. Swami heard the whole thing. And we were just looking at Swami's face for the reaction. No, beautiful. First time we have sung a Western song and then Swami looks and says, Anni okatega undi. No? Everything same only. Just the song where we thought that first time we sang everybody different, he said everything is sounding same. You fellows don't know how to sing Western songs. No? Different things should be happening, Swami told. Somebody should sing, then somebody should stop, then somebody should sing. You should sing differently. Same words all of you are singing. Because we were singing what was called a perfect harmony. So each somebody sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. No, that's just a counter of that. Overall it's sounding like that only. So the first time we understood that we should sing differently when we sing in front of Swami. The first time that Vijay Sai brother reminded of Aao Sab Milkar Gaaye. When the song was first time made, very often it would happen that Swami will tell something or he'll give a hint. Now this song was the first of the combined sports meet final song. And just after he finished making it, Swami very often would give in different ways a clue that yes, you have done the right thing. Actually, I guided it. I did it. So that morning when I finished it, Swami in his discourse, he kind of almost repeated all those words which were there in this song. In Telugu, he sang Kalasi Melasi Peragudam. He started talking about it. Then he said Sahana Vavatu. And then about unity and oneness. And this is something that has always been reverberating in my ears because I know that the day will come. How? When? Yes. One needs to be more patient. When it said, Sare jahan se sai ke dar pe dekho hazaron aaye aao sab milkar gaayein ekta ke geet hraayein bhinn desh par ek praan roop anek par ek naam sai raam sai raam. The fact is that such times are coming, but the fact is also that many of us don't believe in it. By belief I mean we speak, we say, we profess, but we are not having it in our blood. Swami has the entire universe in the palm of his hand. Everything that you can imagine, he has done. Somewhere or the other. I'll give you another experience. And let's recollect this fact that because sir is sitting here, I got reminded of this. In today's modern world, we talk about science and technology. As a physicist, let me tell you that science is absolutely not on the right footing. So limited. Just contemplate on one small aspect. Again, I ask you to think about it, because we just know these things, we hear of them, but we do not think about them. How many of us have seen Vibhuti appearing on Swami's photos? Forget Swami's hands. His photos are enough. Anything appearing. Do you know that as far as modern science is concerned, if you could produce one atom of Vibhuti from a photograph, you'll get more than a Nobel Prize. More than a Nobel Prize. Scientists who are sitting there will be knowing this. And that is why sometimes, yes, the scientist falls off at his feet. Because he doesn't need any other conviction. He says, oh God, can you do that? We have got around 1,000 research institutions in the world that are doing research in cold fusion, hot fusion, plasma fusion, but you are creating confusion. Without any rhyme or reason, you get vibhuti out. Really, I don't know how it happens. Scientifically, every element higher than even iron, 56, was created, they say, only due to the energy released in a supernova explosion. And a supernova explosion releases just the energy of around 1 million suns. And here we have somebody, does he release the energy of 1 million suns from his hand or from his photographs, or is there another way? If I don't believe in it, just let me look at it. Sir is sitting right here. His father comes 40 years ago to Vrindavan, rejected by doctors upon doctors, with operations upon operations upon operations, just 25 operations, and the doctor gives up. We have heard this experience how many times, but it doesn't change our lives. I don't mean you all, I mean myself. You know, the thick skin that I am, it takes me so much time to transform, to understand that, hey, it must hit me. If I am a scientist, it must hit me. That here was somebody who was rejected by doctors, and the doctor said, we give up. Don't trouble Tyagarajan. Let him go home and pass away in peace in his family. Please keep him for 1 month with you, because this cancer, we cannot do anything. We have done the best possible. 25 operations. Don't trouble him. And he comes to Vrindavan, and a small barefooted brown man in a red robe comes there, comes to him casually and says, Tyagarajan, why did you have 25 operations? The word was a surprise, because Tyagarajan was coming to Satya Sai Baba for the first time in his life. Not told his problem to anybody. And he's standing in face of divinity, and this small man says, Tyagarajan, he gives him vibhuti and says, don't worry, your cancer is cancelled. Ah, we have heard this experience how many thousand times. How amazing! 100 Nobel Prizes should be given for one such act. If somebody could say that, look here, you are doing research in how many institutions, in how many countries, and if somebody says by statistical means, all research on cancer is done only statistically, means if 100 patients were investigated with this medicine, and if 30 survived, 70 were killed, it looks statistically feasible that there must be a connection, and maybe this medicine can cure cancer. It's a good candidate. And here is somebody defying science on the face of it. Shame to science. He just says, cancer cancelled. All the genetic mutations, the cell reactions start reversing themselves. Back. Because for the cancer to be cancelled, the cells should, which have multiplied, they must, I don't know what name to give it to them, it must go reverse, and it must form back the old substance. Then only cancer is cancelled. Otherwise, if you have those cells in your body, that's it. And here is somebody who said cancer cancelled, not to one person. Whenever he felt like saying, he said it. Because he knew that when he says something, it happens. It cannot not happen. So do we believe that a golden age is around the corner? You know that somebody said it. Who said it? The one who could cancel cancer. Whose word cancelled cancers which hundreds of research institutions, hundreds of Nobel Prize winners failed to even do anything about. He could create nuclear reactor from his photograph, which modern science cannot do. Are we not having the courage to stand up and say, this is non-scientific? We scientists don't have the courage, because we feel if we say that this is really happening, then something wrong in our science. Or we simply push it aside by saying, see, somehow it happened. No? What a fantastic way of brushing aside by scientists who are so rational. Or the best way that they do is, don't look at it. Don't go there. Don't talk about it because it's non-scientific. Let it be happening. How many places vibhuti is appearing, things are happening. These things keep happening everywhere. Hundreds of homes. Hundreds of people being rescued day in and day out all over the globe. Swami's mahimas are going on. The other day when I had gone to, I was telling you that I happened to go to Mathura Vrindavan to my Guruji. There was a young man who was a Sai devotee and who, this is just last summer, he got interested and came to this place. And when he comes there, he tells me some fantastic experience. He says, you know, I am working in the army. And in the army, I got interested and through email, I started corresponding to a lady in Brazil. As I started corresponding to the lady in Brazil, one day after 2-3 months of correspondence, some unknown lady, people nowadays, you know, young fellows, they have all kinds of chatting schemes. And this lady one day sends an email to him saying, one ghost is troubling me and he's coming in my dreams and telling me, do this, do that. Then she also gave some description. So this boy got interested. He was a Sai devotee. So he felt he understood who the ghost was. So he sends one photograph of Swami to this lady in Brazil and say with the thing that, is this the ghost? And then she sends back a reply, yes, this is the ghost. How did you get his photograph? Then he sent another mail and started telling something about who the ghost was. And he described Satya Sai Baba and she started getting interested. And 2 months from then, this is all just last year, around 1.5 years back. After another month, she sends him a message. Satya Sai Baba came to me today in Brazil. And then Satya Sai Baba started coming to her house, flesh and blood. See, it's not a big deal, you know. If you can do cancel, vibhuti appearing, these are all small things. You know? When you want, you can be somewhere. So, he appears there, starts talking to her, do this, do this. After another 3-4 months, this lady tells this young gentleman that I have, you know what? Swami comes to her and tells, see, you and your husband, you have to do some service, great service for man. And Swami tells them of a place in Uganda. I don't know the name of the place, okay? Difficult to remember. Place where the tribe still don't even have clothes. You go to that place and live there and serve this tribe. My blessings will be with you and I will help you. And then after 1 more month, she has shifted to Uganda. And then she's telling how Swami is appearing and guiding. What I am trying to say is that this Satya Sai Baba is not easy to understand. Because when he wants, he appears wherever he wants. When he wants, he does whatever he wants. And be convinced that the earth shall be saved. The Satya Sai avatar was not one avatar, it was a triplicate. Shirdi Sai, Parthi Sai, Prema Sai. Everything that he has told is going to happen. If we believe, we will be part of being saved or possibly on the other side. Let me tell you a small dream which I heard from a boy. I thought of telling 50 experiences. Okay, I ended up with 5. That is Swami. Time is not enough. Whatever you want, keep on speaking. You can go on and on. His glory can never be described. Hundreds of people in 100 different ways. And still there is something new. This boy was a pilot in USA, going to become a pilot there. He was doing the full course. Swami appears in his dream and says, leave it, come and apply for MBA in my college. And he leaves USA, comes to, this is what he told just a few days back, and he's now doing MBA in Parthi. And Swami interacts with him in so many ways, dreams or in other ways. So he, after coming back from USA, it is not that he got off the seat. He applied for MBA, he did not get. He again applied for MBA, he did not get. He again applied for MBA and got it in the third attempt. He says that, I just had a dream. Now why am I narrating this dream? Very interesting. A Rudra Homam was performed, an Ati Rudra Mahayagya of an amazing variety was performed here for the benefit of mankind. Swami has been doing that. You do not know what scale Swami is operating. But just to tell you, this boy had a dream, and then Swami is sitting there in Prashanti Nilayam, and this boy goes to Swami and touches Swami's feet. And then looks up and Swami and says, Swami, you still didn't tell me who you are. And Swami says, oh, you want to know who I am? Look. So this boy looks. On the other side, Lord Shiva is standing there, flesh and blood, in his dream. Full red eyes, matted hair, and then Lord Shiva starts walking. Walking, walking. He reaches where Swami is sitting. He bends and does namaskar and then turns to this boy whose name is Aditya. And Swami says, Aditya, not only for you, for me also he is God. Let me tell you what it means. I narrated this to somebody and the boy told, sir, fine sir, but what is this? Sir? Swami told that he is Lord Shiva. And then what is this Lord Shiva doing? Namaskar to Swami. I said, see, it is very simple. Maybe you are not scientific. That's why you are thinking. Shirdi Baba was Lord Shiva's incarnation. Swami has told. Parthi Baba was Shiva and Shakti. And in a very simple mathematical way, if Shiva is half and Shakti is half, then Shiva is 50, Shiva Shakti is 100. So what's wrong in Shiva showing reverence to Shiva Shakti? Because he's showing reverence to his full, to himself. But in the process, he's giving you a glimpse. Yes, there have been avatars, but this was a Purna avatar. To understand that, it's not going to be easy. My Guruji himself told me that beyond the divinity of Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh operates a divinity, the supreme principle which guides all Godhead. Satya Sai Baba is that. We have an opportunity. So let's end with this. Just let's remind ourselves of how fortunate we are. I will just end with reminding us of this thing in the form of few lines which all of us know. It says, oh when the saints, oh when the saints, oh when the saints go marching in, how I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, and on that hallelujah day, and on that hallelujah day, how I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, Jai Sai Ram.
Baba, every moment of my life. life, please be with me. In every single act of mine, be thou my guide. Baba, Sai Baba. Baba, Sai Baba. When I fall, lend me your hand. When I stray far away, bring me back again. When I slip, when I fall, lend me your hand. When I stray far away, bring me back again. Baba, Sai Baba. Baba, Sai Baba.
मोहब्बत की कमी दिल में अगर एहसास होता है, जरा झांको तो पाओगे कि साईं पास होता है। ओ करिश्मा उसी का है कि दुनिया खूबसूरत लगती है, वरना आदमी को आदमी प्यारास होता है। साई बिन रहा न जाए, साई बिन रहा न जाए, चैन ना आए जब से देखा तुझको साई मेरे दर्श के प्यासे नैना सांझ सवेरे जब से है देखा तुझको साई मेरे दर्श के प्यासे नैना सांझ सवेरे मिट मर जाए तुझ पे हमसे न रूठे तू जिंदगी सौंप दे हम चरणों में तेरे यूं
जिंदगी सौंप दे हम चरणों में तेरे यूं जिंदगी सौंप दे हम चरणों में तेरे यूं
मन मंदिर से जाओ न साए मन मंदिर से जाओ न साए चैन नाए मोहे चैन न जाए साई बिन तू मेरा दिल मेरी धड़कन तू ही है मंजिल मेरी मेरा जीवन तेरा दर्शन मेरी सब सांसे भी तेरी तुझ पे कुर्बान हो ये जीवन तुझ पे कुर्बान हो ये जीवन अब तमन्ना है ये मेरी
अब तमन्ना है ये मेरी बस तमन्ना
तुझ पे कुर्बान हो ये जीवन अब तमन्ना है ये मेरी अब तमन्ना है ये मेरी बस तमन्ना है ये मेरी साई बिन रहा न जाए साई बिन चैन नाए मोहे चैन नाए साई बिन रहा न जाए साई बिन रहा न जाए
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.